Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Jenkins Floors and More. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 9:02 the time. Michael Cole joins us here in just a moment. Greg, Eli, and Zach with you from the Family Leisure Studios. Family Leisure, 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. Currently 69 degrees, but on the way up to 89 today. Brilliant sunshine, hot. It'll feel like mid-July, for goodness sakes. Tonight, 65 for a low, clear skies. And then tomorrow, more of the same, upper, mid to upper 80s. Mostly sun, a little bit of clouds rolling in before we have some rain on Friday. Third hour of the program is brought to you by Jenkins Floors and More, 6 East Commerce in Hernando. They are a short drive from anywhere in the Memphis area. They also have stores in Little Rock and Cleveland, Mississippi, and fingers crossed, possibly coming soon to the Memphis area. Family-owned and operated local business that specializes in flooring and carpeting. Top-of-the-line service. They will give you 2 weeks. You decide you want to use Jenkins for flooring, for carpeting, whatever the case may be. They'll give you 2 weeks and they'll say, it'll be done. The project will be done in 2 weeks. That is a guarantee from them. They will come out and they will give you a free estimate and show you the free samples of what they have to offer wherever you are. So all you have to do is call. They will come to you and they sell it wholesale. So they skip the middleman. They save you lots of money. Flooring and carpeting, backsplashes for your kitchens and bathrooms, plantation shutters and blinds. It's Jenkins Floors and More. Call them at 662-469-9350 or visit them in Hernando at 6 East Commerce. Time now to talk with DeMichael Cole.
Two watches, that's 12. Come through and slam on you. I'm in the L. Boys, I said it done.
It's time to talk some Grizzlies basketball. Joining Greg and Eli is DeMichael Cole, Grizzlies beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. Here's DeMichael with Greg and Eli.
Make sure to read DeMichael's stories at the Commercial Appeal. He does an unbelievable job covering the Grizzlies. You can follow him on Twitter at DeMichael C. Catch him every Wednesday with us right here on Sports 56 Mornings. That's all year long. DeMichael, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, guys. How we doing?
Doing good. I just saw the story, so I don't. You probably haven't seen it and probably wouldn't have an answer to this, but I just thought it was worthwhile bringing up. I see that Bally Sports... Xfinity has dropped them. So for Cardinals fans out there, but for the Grizzlies fans as well, that's going to limit their options on watching the local broadcast. So Xfinity owners, I'm just seeing this for the first time. Bally Sports is unavailable to Xfinity customers. That could change, I guess. But right now, Cardinals fans need to look for different options. The same could happen for the Grizzlies this fall.
Yeah, it definitely it could change, you know, but it's definitely I just saw it as well. I've been catching up on it. I haven't seen any comments yet, you know, from Bally on the situation in terms of, you know, how they plan on handling that going forward. But yeah, definitely noteworthy. I mean, we all know, of the recent situations with Bally and bankruptcy and whatnot. So there have definitely been some changes there, but yeah, no Xfinity, so I think it doesn't affect any of the other customers who watch, you know, Grizzlies games or have a Bally Sports subscription or cable package with any other companies. But Xfinity people, you need to find a way to pivot if you want to watch the Grizzlies, Cardinals, or even the Braves, like me. I'm a Braves fan.
There you go.
So even the Braves fans out there, same thing.
Have you done it? Like, do we know that the Grizzlies are back with Bally's? Because again, the whole bankruptcy thing is very confusing. Yeah. I kept thinking it was going to go away, but it hasn't gone away. Do we know if the Grizzlies are back with Bally's next year?
So that is the plan. Yes. Like, if you remember, I did a story on why the games are going to be airing on Prime Video next season. But, part of that is basically that, you know, Prime Video will have the coverage of the game on Prime Video. So it should operate as another streaming service, so to speak. But as far as, you know, TV goes, the games are, at this point in time, still expected to be on Bally.
Okay.
So we were talking earlier about the NBA playoffs, and we'll get your thoughts here in just a second, what's been happening. But we got into the discussion of Phoenix and Kevin Durant, and Eli said, you know, there was a lot of conversation yesterday. What was it, yesterday on social media about, like, Kevin Durant and the Grizzlies and maybe being traded and all that, which is just a bunch of hogwash. But did you read any of that stuff? And what do you think with Kevin Durant and that Phoenix Suns team? You got a new owner in Matt Ishbia who doesn't seem to know what he's doing. But yeah. I guess anything is possible, although the big three are under contract for next year. Do you see any world in which one of those guys is dealt?
No, I absolutely do not. And here's my standing on this, because I haven't seen a lot of people say it, so I guess it's kind of the unpopular opinion. But I feel like it's the opinion based off what we've seen over the years. First of all, this was my thing. Coming into the Western Conference playoff, like, one thing that we knew was all of these teams had really good regular seasons. Like, it's six, seven, eight games separating the one all the way to 10. Really 11 when you count Golden State. So it's very tight with those 10 teams. And if you look at the teams on the bottom, the 10, 9, 8, 7, 6 teams, like Golden State, one of the best records second half of the season. You know, if you take away the Draymond hoopla and all that stuff that was going on, they're in. Sacramento, as the, I think they were the 9. If Malik Monk and Kevin Herter don't go down, and they're not basically having a 6-7 man rotation, they were top 6 seed. Mm-hmm. Most of the same thing with the Pelicans as the 8 seed, right? They just got swept. But Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson, you know, dealt with some injury stuff. They're more so Brandon Ingram in February and going into March. And if that doesn't happen, remember the Pelicans were the 4 and 5 seed, you know, before the injury bug, you know, kind of, you know, pushed them all the way back to 8. So the West was so tight. Basically, the top 4 teams, top 5 teams were the healthiest teams. And the teams below that were the teams who dealt with the most adversity, you know, on that front in terms of availability. But they all were very close. So I knew going into the first round series, whoever loses, there's going to be, in my opinion, drastic overreaction because they lost in the first round. It's going to be that way, not just with the Suns, because the Suns got swept and, you know, it was ugly. Like, they got beat up. But whoever loses this Clippers-Mavs series, if it's the Clippers, people are going to say, oh, you know, is the Kawhi-PG tandem run its course? Is it time to break it up? If the Mavs lose, they're going to say, you know what, it's the second year in a row. Luka and Kyrie haven't really gotten anywhere. Is it time to, you know, think of another pairing or whatever the case may be, and so forth. Like, the West is just that tough, and people are going to, in my opinion, overreact. So with all that being said, getting back to your original question, you know, with the Suns, I have no reason to think that they should break it up right now. I actually think that, one, they should run it back and potentially just fix some other things up around those core three guys. Like, I do think it's a flawed pairing. Like, you got not just 2 shooting guards in Devin Booker and Bradley Beal. You got 3 shooting guards in the starting lineup with Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, and Grayson Allen. So that is flawed. Yes, I do see that. But I'm of the opinion of, hey, okay, we see this whole shooting guard playing point guard thing did not work out. Go get a point guard to put alongside of Devin Booker and Bradley Beal and Kevin Durant. It doesn't have to be some super dynamic player. Just go get someone who knows how to run offense and get those guys easier shots. Once you do that, let's see how that Suns team looks then. And if it looks like this team, if you're another first-round exit, then next year, after that, is when you say, okay, it's time to break this thing up. But if that's not the case, you run it back. Because here's the best example I got for you. And there are many more. But the best example I got for you is the Timberwolves last season. Like, how soon do we forget? Last year, when Rudy Gobert was traded to the Timberwolves, and they were a first-round exit, and people were looking at that situation and saying, oh, no, this, what a terrible trade. Like, mm-hmm. they put all these assets into getting Rudy Gobert and playing him alongside of Karl Anthony Towns, and this double big man thing isn't working. I remember people were saying, oh, they're going to have to trade one of them, right? They're about to go in the second apron. You can't keep Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert. You got to move one. And now they look like legitimately possibly the team that could represent the Western Conference. Like, they just pummeled the Suns. And it's wild to think, because last year they got 4-1 in the first round. Sure, you know, Jaden McDaniels got hurt and whatnot, but and Naz Reid as well, but they were struggling most of the regular season, even when those guys were available. Like, they were the eighth seed in the playoffs. And another year together, we saw them play much better basketball. I mean, why can't that be the Suns? You know, and like I said, to a lesser degree, the Mavs, same thing. Mavs looked terrible last year with Kyrie and Luka on the court. And now they're 5 seed, potentially fighting, you know, for a second round spot against a really good Clippers team. So I think, you know, it would be too early to give up on any team, you know, 1 year in, when we have experience in several examples of teams, you know, like the Timberwolves, like the Mavs, taking that jump in experience when they have another year together.
Do you think, though, that the team will overreact or whatever, but that Frank Vogel will be out and Darvin Ham will be out?
It's a little bit different with the Lakers situation, because, you know, now you're talking about first round exit, and last year, even when you made the, you know, Western Conference Finals, you were in a similar position as, you know, a 7 seed taking on a 2 seed and whatnot. So I think that situation is a little different. I personally, you know, think he's probably one that's going to be, you know, fired, you know, whatever the case may be. Vocal is, I just don't understand the logic behind firing a guy 1 season in when you give him a flawed roster. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. You give a guy 3 shooting guards in a starting lineup, and you say, go run efficient, high-quality offense. Like, the things that the Suns were bad at, you should have expected them to be bad at with 3 shooting guards on the roster. You're going to be a terrible fourth-quarter team because you don't have anyone to run the offense, initiate offense, when the game gets real muddy late in the game. And the other thing that the Suns struggled with was turnovers. Like, go figure. You got a lot of guys that like to score instead of, you know, setting up other players. So the things that they struggle with were expected. I don't think those were coaching malpractice, you know, in any type of way. So I think you have to, I mean, he's a championship-winning coach. You know, he's proven mm-hmm. to make the most of other rosters before. I think you just give him a better roster more so than just immediately moving on from him.
To Michael Cole joining us on the Sissy's Log Cabin guest line. You can read all his great stories at the Commercial Appeal. Follow him on Twitter at DeMichaelC. Let me ask you this. How much money would the Grizzlies have to be able to afford a center via free agency? Or is it going to have to come via a trade or the draft? And I'll tell you why I bring that up in a second.
Okay, so if you're talking about free agency, honestly, it's more than likely going to be a minimum guy, possibly mid-level exception, but you're really going to have to get a guy who's probably willing to take a discount, or just a guy who's going to be a big that, you know, is a reserve. The most likely options, like you said, free agency, trade. And when we say trade, I think we can loop sign and trade into that, because there are some free agent centers out there that say, hey, you know, if we can work out something via sign and trade, you know, they'd want to come to Memphis. So the Dylan Brooks, for example, deal last season was a sign and trade. So that option is on the table as well.
Is Jonas Valanciunas an option who's done? He's not – I don't know what New Orleans wants to do with him. We were talking about him the other day, the former yeah. Grizzly. I think he's making probably north of $15 million, something like that. That's probably out the window, right? Even if they wanted to go down that avenue?
For sure. So the first thing is the money. I don't think he'll command a contract near that value. You know, again, being that in New Orleans, for example, like, there is a clear route for them to be successful without Giannis. Like, the Giannis and I mean, not Giannis, the Zion and Giannis thing is a little bit muddy, especially yes. when you got Brandon Ingram. Mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of spacing issues over there and whatnot. And they actually have some of the problems that the Grizzlies had when he was here, which is why I think, you know, the idea of him returning isn't necessarily a basketball fit, because of Jonas is better with the ball. He's not some rim-running threat, or he's going to just set screen, catch lob, and play defense while you let Jaren, Dez, and Ja all score 20 points a game. No, he's going to need his post touches just like Jaren needs his. That's the way he plays. Of course, he's going to do the rebounding. He's going to set really good screens. But his game is more of that of a big who, you know, needs the ball a little bit more. So mm-hmm. I think the perfect way to describe it to me is Jonas is a center upgrade for the Grizzlies. Like, you go get him, you've upgraded the center spot. But is he the fit that's going to take this team to where it wants to go? I don't think so, because, you know, there are going to be touches that go down for the other guys in order to maximize what he brings to the table. Mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
If you want him to play like one of those rim-running threats now, I think you're kind of devaluing his skill set, you know, because he's not someone we're going to see catch, you know, four lobs like a Brandon Clark or some of the other center targets that we've thrown out there, you know, Andre Drummond and other guys like that. That's not his game. Set screens, roll to the rim, catch lobs. And whatnot.
The did you give Zach Kleiman the second place vote in Executive of the Year?
No, that wasn't me. I
guess somebody was just so like impressed by the number of pure players he signed during the year that they said, we got to give this guy something. Like, it's amazing. The dude signed 34 guys during the season. Amazing stuff.
Yeah. That, I saw that, I mean, he said it himself. Like, I think when we had the exit interviews, he was like, it's going to be weird this week not signing another guy to it. And, you know, most people thought he was joking, but I took him serious. I mean, I just feel like every day they were in that office just looking at guys' G League highlights and just thinking, like, who can we bring along for the Rotten Nick?
I would have given a vote to Taylor Jenkins for Coach of the Year with all what he had to deal with. He didn't get one lousy vote, so... obviously, the Grizzlies weren't a good team, but man, what he had to deal with was incredible.
They were like, he just for knowing these guys were actually basketball players and signed him to 10-day deals, Executive of the Year. I love it.
Some high level scouting.
So we often read these way too early predictions for whether it's the college basketball tournament next year, who's going to be in, who's going to be out, or who's going to be preseason, top 25, and things of that nature. If we do that with the NBA right now, and I'm just talking about the Western Conference, and we don't know what moves are going to be made across the board, right? We don't know if LeBron's coming back to the Lakers, although I think he is. With that said, if everybody's healthy, where would you rank the Grizzlies in the West when we just talked about Minnesota, Oklahoma City, some of these teams that have really elevated their game, and others that you say they shouldn't give up on, like Phoenix, the Clippers, New Orleans, they had to deal without Zion in the postseason. Where would you pinpoint the Grizzlies going into next year, like in power rankings in the Western Conference?
Yeah, I think there's top four, top five fan power with the Grizzlies because if you look at the West, like we were just talking about, the one common denominator with those teams at the top is the consistency from the standpoint of they played together, you know, for a while. Those top four teams, whether it's the Clippers, you know, the Timberwolves now and the Nuggets and OKC, all those teams you have players there over the last couple of years have been big part, you know, to their teams. And we know the Grizzlies have that as well as the talent and the experience. From being a 50-plus win team in the past couple years, I think they just got to address this center spot. That's going to really solidify, you know, what I think and what we believe in. If they address it correctly, which, you know, I expect them to do, they'll be top four, top five, I think. If they don't, now you're saying they're possibly a sixth team because the West is just that tight. In a marginal move like that where you go from being one of the top rebounding teams, which the Grizzlies have been, which has been a big part of why they've been so good, to potentially a middle of the pack or even lower tier rebounding team, that's the difference from being a top four team to six or seven team battling for a play-in spot.
Well, really, I mean, in the NBA, as we see, and you just talked about it a little bit earlier with what's going on this year, like, we know injuries are going to have the big determining factor in it all. Every year, there's major injuries, and that in a lot of ways, if they stay healthy – They'll absolutely, I think, be a top four team. If they don't, like, then it's trouble. But, I mean, you just look up and down. It's every single year. A lot of it ends up in, whether it be regular season standings or in the postseason, is simply determined by injuries.
For sure. And in the past, like, the last couple Grizzlies teams that won 50-plus games, those teams, and there are some other teams in the West who were built this way as well. Like, the Clippers stand out to me when I think of this. And the Timberwolves this season, too. There are certain teams from a depth and a personnel perspective that are better equipped to handle a certain injuries, and that's mm-hmm. a big part of it as well. You know, when Ja went down, the Grizzlies had a point guard who had an identity and who could switch things up in Tyus Jones while still leading the Grizzlies to efficient, you know, basketball. When Jaren Jackson Jr., you know, went down the past couple years, you know, you had a guy, you know, like Kyle Anderson, you know, who you could throw in there as a vet and, you know, play really good defense and knew his role, you know, really well and so forth. Like Steven Adams, Xavier Tillman, Brandon Clark, the list goes on. But, yeah, so with this new, you know, Grizzlies team, I think addressing that point guard spot, how they address it, if they address it, you know, whatever the case may be this offseason, it's kind of like a sneaky thing too to watch because when Marcus Smart was at point guard and he didn't play the whole 25 game stretch, but you know they were struggling. Like they started 0-7, 0-8, and they were 1-9 at one point. Like and that was pretty much with Marcus Smart starting at point guard. So I think we can't overlook that early season stretch and say there are some things that need to be fixed there in order for this. Be better with Ja off of the floor. That's a big question. You know, sure, they can win some games with him on the floor, but when the injury bug bites, in the past you had Tyus Jones, and that's how they were able to be a 50-plus win team. The off-the-floor without Ja perspective of next season's team will be important because if he, you know, if he plays 67 games or whatever the case may be, you can't go 2-13 or 3-12 in those games and expect to be, you know, a 50-win basketball team or a top four, top five seed.
Well, that is well said because that you're exactly right. You have to be in position with your roster to be able to overcome injuries. And those that aren't ready for it, you know, that's on the front office for not having that team prepared because, as Eli said, you're all going to deal with injuries. Now, Hopefully, nobody, not even your worst enemy, has to deal with the injuries that the Grizzlies had to deal with this past year. But it's also a crutch that some people use. And I like Darvin Ham, but he's talking about some of those injuries earlier in the season. Let's be honest here. You had LeBron James for the bulk of the year. He's going to be 40 in the fall. You had Anthony Davis, more importantly, for the bulk of the year. So don't give me injuries. When we look, it's got to be injuries that have taken your star players out for the entire season or at least a big chunk of the season. Other than that, you really can't use that as an excuse because everybody deals with players missing games.
Yeah, I'm with you. You got to be best prepared, best equipped to handle that, and that's what it's going to come down to. The Timberwolves played, the month of March pretty much without Karl Anthony Towns, and we saw how that worked out for them. You know, Rudy Gobert held it down. Nas Reed, like they had players, and Nas Reed won Sixth Man of the Year. So you got to be quick to handle it. Kawhi Leonard is down right now, and in this series against the Mavs, the Clippers are 2-0 in the games that he hasn't played. So it's just who's best equipped to handle those things, and that's what you have to position your roster for.
All right. Well, have a great week. We'll see what happens, if anything, with the Grizzlies as far as Grizzlies news. Certainly the NBA playoffs rolling along. We'll talk about it next week. With the man, DeMichael Cole, Grizzlies beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. You can follow him on Twitter at DeMichael C. Thanks, DeMichael.
All right, take care, guys.
You too. Corky's Ribs and Barbecue is a great option for lunch or dinner anytime. You can dine in at any of their four locations. You can drive through, no contact delivery, and bring it home or bring it to your office. You can have any of the delivery services bring it to your home or office as well. And also, catering. You got a little event that's coming up, whether it's sports related, maybe a business outing, family reunion. Let Corky's, let them and their ability to cater events take over that party for you. They've done it for the pretty much the entirety of their existence, which is four decades. So they know what they're doing. They have catered a lot of events. Let Corky's do that for you. Just contact them. They're at Poplar Avenue in Memphis, Poplar Avenue in Collierville, Germantown Parkway in Cordova, and Goodman Road in Olive Branch. Whether it be that delicious slow-smoked barbecue or those great ribs, barbecue nachos, wings, an award-winning catfish plate, tamales, even burgers, a cheese and sausage plate, and amazing desserts, plus much, much more on that great, delicious menu that I've taken advantage of many times. Hopefully you do as well. Corky's Ribs and Barbecue, they're open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week. When we come back, a little breaking college basketball news, a little baseball we'll get into as well. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Jenkins Floors & More. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Early Monday morning to Friday at 5, man, I work.
North Carolina's going to have R.J. Davis back for a fifth and final year. The first team AP All-American has announced he will return to Chapel Hill.
Yeah, he was one of the surprise when they did come out with the official list of early entries into the draft. He was not on that list. People thought he would be. Him and DJ Wagner were, I think, the two names that people were a little surprised by not being on that list of the early entries. But that's a huge get for North Carolina to have him back. He was, granted, it did not end well. It was horrendous in their final game in the tournament. But he was terrific during the year.
Well, last year they were able to get Armando Bacot to stay. And now this offseason they get R.J. Davis to stay. Obviously the NIL for basketball at North Carolina is pretty strong. How is he or where is he projected at as far – I'm not talking about a team or anything – as far as the NBA with R.J. Davis?
I don't know. I mean, he's a little small. He's not like some –
He wouldn't have been a first-round pick, though, right?
I don't know. He might have, maybe late. I don't know. I don't know for sure where what they thought of him. But the fact that he's coming back, I'm guessing you probably didn't think he was a first-round pick.
Yeah, and DJ Wagner, who hasn't made up his mind yet, I'm sure is going to end up at Arkansas with John Calipari. So Cal's putting together a monster team where the expectations will be extremely high, but not as high as they are Kentucky every year. And in the meantime, looks like Mark Pope is putting together a decent team at Kentucky. As players want to come play for him or simply just want to come and play for Big Blue in Lexington. So, you know, it may work out. Who knows? I mean, at first we were like Mark Pope, but maybe it'll work out in the end for Kentucky. Wouldn't that be something? Kentucky played Arkansas National Championship.
Whoa.
I'm not saying this year.
Mark Pope's. Let's tap the brakes a little bit here on the Pope.
No, I'm not saying. I'm not
the
saying
Pope
this
himself
year.
Isn't pulling that off.
No, wouldn't that be something if that ever came to it? That's all I'm saying. Switching gears. Have you noticed that a guy named Tigger, is it pronounced Tiger Woods, is making the rounds? He was on Jimmy Fallon last night. He was on the Today Show today, as he is basically promoting his new Sunday Red line. Out there launching it. Tiger doesn't do a lot of those type of shows, but he was on with Fallon last night. He's still non-committal to the PGA Championship.
Tiger never had his own line of clothing.
Yeah, but he's been, you know, with everything that's happened in his life, a lot of it negative here in recent years. I'm not going to say he's a hermit, but he hasn't been much out in the world as far as the public is concerned. Wouldn't you say so?
Exactly. But he also never had his own line of clothing
right,
to promote.
Right. I understand why he's doing it. I'm not stupid. I understand why he's doing it. But he's still non-committal on the PGA Championship, but most expect that he will play. It's at Valhalla in Louisville, and it's May 16th. He won on that course back in 2000. So we'll see. I think it's only a matter of time, matter of when, not if, Tiger Woods – will commit to the PGA Championship. But in the meantime, a little Today Show.
Every tournament is an if with him.
Yes. Well, not the Masters.
It's still, he has to be physically capable of doing it.
Well,
it's always an if with him.
Yes, but he's never going to be physically 100% again. It's never going to happen.
Yet exactly. That's why every term is an if.
Well, it may be an if, but I still think he will play for years to come in the Masters. He will play for years. That's my guess, is they'll still play for a number of years in the Masters. But he's making his rounds. All right, I saw this the other day. I wanted to save it until today to talk about it. And it's been done many, many times before, if I could find the darn thing. There it is. Rankings, and it changes, obviously, every year. New stadiums come and go. New stadiums are built. The old stadiums, you know, are demolished. And I know you're getting ready to see a great historic stadium. So this is the most recent list that I saw from, let's see who put it out there. This is, looks like USA Today. The top 30, all the Major League Baseball stadiums ranked from 1 to 30. Number one stadium ranked in Major League Baseball is Oracle Park, San Francisco. One that I've never had a chance to see. One that I would love to see. That is number one. Number two, Wrigley Field. Your team stadium. I've been there now several times.
Should be number one.
Number three, Camden Yards. My old stomping grounds for several years covering the Orioles. Number four, PNC Park in Pittsburgh. That's the one that everybody says should be a must-see for baseball fans out there. If there's a few stadiums you're going to go and see, one should definitely be PNC Park.
It is amongst the new stadiums. It seems as though people enjoy that the most, despite the team that plays there.
You know what's crazy is that Camden Yards is now approximately like 30 years old. I mean, stadiums are being demolished after 20 years anymore, especially NFL. Number five on that list is Fenway.
I will be there in a couple weeks.
And I am jealous. My son was just at Fenway Park. I wonder, and again, everybody has their own opinion. For those who have been to both Wrigley and Fenway, anybody listening out there that want to hit me up here, hit us up on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener lines with a text at 901-360-8255. If you don't have an allegiance to the Cubs or the Red Sox, because if you do, you're going to favor the one. You're just a baseball fan. You've been to Wrigley and you've been to Fenway. They got Wrigley 2, they got Fenway 5. Does that make sense to you? Should Wrigley be ahead of Fenway? Or would you put Fenway ahead of Wrigley, and why? What are the differences in two of the most historic venues in all of sports? I'm just curious about that. Dodger Stadium, you've been there, right?
I have.
Number six, what did you think of Dodger Stadium?
The stadium itself is fine. Fans are the worst fans I've ever been around, and the getting in and out of the park, or in out of the stadium, like the parking lot is an absolute train wreck.
Yeah, they say, sure, parking and traffic are a pain, and you can no longer get Vin Scully on your transistor. But name a better place where you'd rather watch day turn into night as the Dodgers run out to the field in their crisp home whites. Number seven on the list, Coors Field, Colorado. That's starting to age a little bit, too. Number eight, Target Field in Minnesota. I was at the old Metrodome, but never at the, or haven't been yet, at the Target Field. T-Mobile in Seattle is number nine. Number 10 is Petco in San Diego. That still holds up. Beautiful background of the city of San Diego. The weather's always going to be nice out there. Progressive Field. I've seen Progressive Field, not for a game. I've been in the stadium, though, in Cleveland. That's number 11. Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City. Still holds up. Kauffman's how old now? We're talking about the Dancing Fountains was out there in the 70s, for goodness sakes.
Well, they're trying to they're trying to get a new one.
Well, they should, right?
In the state of Kansas, that was one of the Kansas was supposed to, their legislator was going to hold a vote on a proposal for to try and pull both the Chiefs and Royals across the border into Kansas City, Kansas, but they ended up not taking that vote. But yeah, I mean, there's some question on where the Royals and the Chiefs could be playing going forward.
1973.
73 for Kauffman Stadium. One time Fogelman, right? For Avron Fogelman, the Memphian. But what about Arrowhead? Did they... They couldn't have been built the same year, right? Weren't they like both the time period those guys came into existence, those stadiums?
I don't know when Arrowhead was built.
72.
Yeah, there you go. 72 for Arrowhead, 73 for Kauffman. So Kauffman is 27, 20, 51 years old. That is ancient when it comes to stadiums. Comerica Park, I've seen that. 13, Detroit Tigers. Minute Maid Park in Houston is number 14. That one looks weird. Just looks strange. The train, I don't know. I don't know about that one. America Family Field, I've seen a game there in Milwaukee. Used to be Miller Park. City Field in New York. Haven't been to City Field. Was at the old Shea. Been to Citizens Bank Ballpark, the Phillies, that's number 17. Yankee Stadium sits at 18. 18 on this list. You talk about historic stadiums, and I know it's the new Yankee Stadium, but that's at 18. Guaranteed Rate Field. I assume you've been there.
I have.
What do you think of that stadium? It's number 19 on this list.
That is way too high on the list. It should be 30.
What makes 30? It should be last? Other than White Sox, Cubs.
It's just a terrible ballpark. It's like, to me, it looks like a giant erector set. I just don't.
Really?
There's nothing about that park that I really like.
I saw the outskirts of it when I drove. What's that highway that the interstate, whatever that I'm driving down? When I passed it was on the left?
Well, it's the Dan Ryan.
It's the Dan Ryan. Okay. Number 20, Truist Park in Atlanta. To number 20, Truist Park, one of the newer stadiums. Ranks 20th according to this list. Bush is 21st. I'll be headed up to Bush Stadium this weekend.
Bush is a lot better than
21st.
Comiskey.
Yeah, but 21st for Bush Stadium? That should be way higher on that list, should it not? Let me see what it says. Good downtown location, great vista behind the outfield walls, but it still feels a little too erector set for our liking. You just used the erector set comment. 21. Angel Stadium, Los Angeles, been out there. Number 22. That's pretty cool. Chase Field. I've only seen the outside of that stadium. It looked weird, like where it was located. Like right in the downtown area. Number 23. Nats Park in Washington. I still haven't been to Nats Park.
That would go down the list now because of the bee infestation.
Yeah, the Nats, 2019 World Series champions, that hasn't been around that long. That's number 24. That's one I haven't been to and I should. Great American Ballpark. When that was first built, that was premier. Now 25 on this list. Marlins Park is 26. Globe Life Field in Texas. That's a new one, right? They redid that when it used to be the old stadium in Arlington. I remember this one... If I'm not mistaken, was it near Cowboy Stadium, right?
The same as the old. I mean, they're old.
They're all right in that area, right?
The old ones.
Yeah,
there,
I saw that when I was there for the old
ones
there,
the new ones there. They're all there.
That's 27. Rogers Center, Toronto is 28th. The Oakland Coliseum, the dilapidated Oakland Coliseum is 29th. That means there is one worse than the Oakland Coliseum. Hard to believe. But that's Tropicana Field at number 30. And have they tried to get the city through taxes to pay for a new stadium? Have they even made an effort in Tampa? I'm trying to remember the history with that.
Yeah,
stadium.
That's what they're supposed to be getting. I mean, okay. The thought is what did they announce earlier this year? Was it? Done deal for something. I can't remember exactly where they stand on it, but yeah, they're They're supposed to be getting a new stadium.
Okay. I thought I had heard that, but I wasn't sure. I mean, when you think about the lack of attendance for a team, an organization that has been relevant for a number of years, they've been good. Well, you bring them a brand new stadium, I think that will change the mindset, although it is a retirement-type area. That's why when the Red Sox play, when the Yankees play, if the Mets are there, Interlake, you're going to get these big, massive throngs of people because they have relocated down there and they're fans of those particular teams. There's not that many homegrown Tampa fans, but I think a new stadium because it's something new.
Didn't work for the Marlins.
No, it didn't work for the Marlins. I don't know. You're right. It didn't work for the Marlins.
So the Rays, $1.3 billion ballpark between Tampa Bay and St. Peter's.
$1.3? That's it?
Is it like that's a done deal? They are starting to build it? Like it is all approved, everything else?
Yeah, it says it's official. So okay. They should be coming up, should be open in 2028.
I mean, in this day and age, when we talk about now football stadiums for whatever seem to be more expensive, but we're talking about football stadiums, $4 billion, $5 billion, $1.3 billion to build a new baseball stadium, Major League Baseball stadium, seems pretty cheap in this day and age.
Who's building $4 billion stadiums?
Well, what's the Bears? What was the talk about the Bears?
The stadium itself was like 2 point something.
Okay.
There's infrastructure and everything else that made it.
Well, maybe that's what's all included. But I thought there were some stadiums now that they're talking about. What did it cost? Now this is going back. What was Jerry World? What did they spend on that?
$1 billion.
Okay, but that was how many years ago?
I don't remember how many years ago.
Okay, I thought I had saw a couple of these proposals, and I don't know which stadiums, and I'm not sure if it's NFL or Major League Baseball, where it was upwards to $3, $4 billion as opposed to $1.3, but I could be wrong.
$1.2 for a Jerry stadium.
$1.2 back then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you build that same stadium now, I bet you it's
that's a much different dollars. Stadium than what you're talking about.
Well, that's
about
what I'm saying. I'm wondering if they're pinching pennies. Well, that's true, but I wonder if they're
100,000 seats versus probably 30,000.
Well, true, but how much right now? Do you know what they're projecting for that Tampa Stadium?
30,000 seat.
Yeah.
Can accommodate.
Oh gosh. Okay. Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
I'm thinking 50,000, 60,000.
They're not building baseball stadiums of 60,000 seats. Wow. Nobody is.
Wow. Okay. Okay. I stand corrected because I was thinking. I know the Titans, right? That's going to be $2 billion. But that's an NFL stadium.
Yeah.
That's why I said how much of a difference is it with the NFL and Major League Baseball.
Genesis Diamonds, folks, Mother's Day is just around the corner. If you want to make mom happy with a nice piece of jewelry of any sort, well, you got a great selection to choose from at Genesis Diamonds, and something from every price range out there, any budget. You could find something that mom is absolutely going to love, appreciate, and that she can wear every single day to show it off. Affordable, that's number one. Great selection, number two, and unbelievable service, number three. These are things you're going to find every single time, whatever it is you're looking for. If you're shopping for mom, or maybe you're looking for something for an anniversary or any other special occasion, maybe you're thinking about getting engaged and you're looking for that perfect engagement ring, go see the folks at Genesis Diamonds. They will make any occasion that much more special with that perfect piece of jewelry. Father's Day will be coming up before too long as well. They've got stuff for dad in there as well, including those pre-owned Rolex watches, a great selection of those that you could check out, all at Genesis Diamonds. Poplar and Perkins Extended is where you'll find them. That's where you're going to find the best selection, the best prices, the best service. For mom this Mother's Day, check out all the great gift ideas at Genesis Diamonds.
You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Be sure to follow us at Sports 56 WHBQ on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube to watch live video of our shows, stay up to date with station events, and have chances to win prizes. Don't miss out on anything that's going on. Follow us at Sports 56 WHBQ. Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Jenkins Floors and More. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Living after midnight, rocking to
So this was a story from 2022. The five most expensive stadiums in the world. Number five was Yankee Stadium at $1.5 billion. The number one on that list, SoFi Stadium, at $5.5 billion. Now, again, Yankee Stadium's the new Yankee Stadium, but it was built quite a few years ago as opposed to SoFi. And I know that's football, and you're right, football is going to be more expensive. But my gosh, what a difference. $4 billion difference between Yankee Stadium and SoFi. Number two on that list is, or number four on that list is Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta at $1.5 billion. So as much as the Yankees for baseball than it was for the Falcons in football. MetLife Stadium, East Rutherford, I'm surprised at this one, $1.6 billion, third on the list. And then Allegiant Stadium in Vegas for the Raiders, $1.9 billion. And then you jump all the way up to $5.5 billion. My gosh. Kroenke.
Stan Kroenke can afford it.
He pulled out all the stops. Is there, like, when you sit in your seat, is there, like, where the little cup holder is there, like, a bar of gold for everyone? At every game, do you get a bar of gold? My gosh, because we're talking about the Titans, which I'm sure will be state-of-the-art. It won't be SoFi. I think the number's around $2 billion. You can almost build three of them for the price you get for SoFi.
Yeah, I don't remember what the Titans' exact supposed cost will be for theirs.
Yeah, I want to say maybe it's a little bit more than that. It probably will be a little bit more than that. Wasn't it like the team ownership's going to throw in $1 billion into the building of that stadium? Anyway, that's some pretty steep numbers when it comes to stadiums where it once was. NBA playoffs tonight, you got two games on tap. You have Miami and Boston. Boston can eliminate the Heat. Boston's a 14.5-point favorite, and then Dallas and the Clippers. Dallas, a 3.5-point favorite in Los Angeles, which is interesting. That series is even at 2. Well, that's going to do it for us today here on this 1st of May, our first show in the new month of May. We appreciate you listening, folks. Thanks to Steve Macy and to Michael Cole for joining us on the program. Tomorrow, Kerry Miller will be back after a couple of weeks on vacation. We'll talk Major League Baseball with Kerry Miller. Also, Holly Whitfield will join us. We love having Holly on. She has a new book, 100 Things to Do in Memphis Before You Die. It's the fourth edition of this book, so she's always adding different things, and we'll see what that list is comprised of when she joins us tomorrow. We'll also have some other special guests that we're working on as well from both tomorrow and Friday shows before we get ready for the weekend. Right now, we're getting ready for World on Friends on Sports 56, minus Dave Woloshin, as Bryant Dacus and Zach Boyd will be with you for the next hour. So for Eli Savoy and Zach Boyd, I'm Greg Gaston. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.